Well, recently, Melania Trump, the first lady of whatever, sat down and did an in-depth interview just a few days ago. And in that interview, she divulged that she might be the most bullied person on the planet. I don't know if that's the case. And then she kind of corrected herself and said, all right, well, maybe one of the most bullied people on the planet. And I think she was referring to her childhood. On the other hand, maybe it was a cry for help. Maybe she was saying that she's the most bullied person on the planet because she's married to the biggest bully on the planet. Do you think it was a cry for help? It's like when you go to somebody's house and you knock on a door and the person answers the door and you say, is everything okay? And the person at the door says, yeah, everything's fine. Help me. Help me. Help me. No, everything's fine. Help me. It's that kind of thing, you know, like someone's crying for help but doesn't want to do it verbally because then they might find out and the bully would be even worse. Yeah, I believe that Melania is probably the most bullied person on the planet because she's married to him. Yes, I think that's the case. So what's your point?
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Yeah, so what are you saying? What's your point?
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Very nice.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. Well, I got an interesting show today. A little bit later on in the program, Alicia Carey will be joining me. She's a frequent guest on the show, and she's very opinionated, so I thought that once a week we would choose a topic and just go at it. Sometimes we'll agree, sometimes we'll disagree, but it'd be a weekly thing, and we're going to start that today a little bit later on in the show. But in the meantime, bullying is one of my pet peeves. I believe that when a person bullies another, that is assault. It is abuse, and it should be punishable by law. I think by death. But, you know, some people think, Ron, that's too harsh. Well, you know, what the hell. It might be a deterrent. You can't bully people. You can't go after them and then threaten them that if they tell anybody, then it's going to be worse, then you're going to be bullied worse. Or, I mean, that's terrorism. I mean, why do we play around with that? But when kids do it, well, it's okay. Well, that's all right. They're just being kids. What happens when your president does it? What kind of message are you sending your kids then? What kind of message are you sending your adults? This Trump guy acts like an adolescent, like a child that hasn't developed yet. When Trump is attacked, he'll turn around and call people names and bully them. What kind of man are you? As you know, he had an affair with Stormy Daniels, a porn star. At first, he said that he knew nothing about it, and then admitted that, yeah, he knew a little bit about it. And then a tape comes out from his attorney, Michael Cohen, with Trump and Michael Cohen sitting in the same room, talking about by what method they're going to pay off Stormy Daniels to keep quiet just before the election. Hello? Liar, liar, pants on fire. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. So she has a defamation lawsuit against Trumpy, and that was dropped. That's not the only lawsuit she has against him. That's just one of them. So Donald felt like he should take a victory lap, and he turned around and he called the porn star with whom he had an affair with while he was married with a child. He called her a horse face. Let me tell you something. I've seen Stormy Daniels. She ain't no horse face. You could, if you're going to call people names, don't call attractive porn stars horse face. Don, do you have a mirror? Do you own a mirror in the White House? Take a look at it. Even if it's a skinny mirror, it can't do anything to help your face. You're the horse face, Don. You look like you were the first man to step foot on the sun, and you burned your face badly. And the operation to correct the features on your face did not go well. I can bully you too if I want to. So he turns around and he calls the person who was going to sue him, and probably still will. He calls her a horse face. What kind of child responds like that? You expect a little child to make up a name like that to insult somebody. You're a horse face. But a 70-whatever-year-old man who's president of the United States, publicly calling people horse faces and putting it in a tweet which is in black and white. Don, step down. It's so embarrassing. And here's the problem. He does it for his little audience. Yeah, he does it for his little 33%. They love it. He goes out there and he's like doing a comedy stand-up routine. He makes fun of the doctor who claimed that Kavanaugh assaulted her sexually, Dr. Ford. And Trump says, well, you really do have to listen to her. And then he ends up making fun of her like she's some type of a moron or some type of an idiot. Don, grow up, man. Grow up. Is he physically fit to be president? No, he's mentally ill. That's physically not good either. He's not physically fit enough to be the president. He's certainly not mentally fit. You've put an adolescent child in the White House. What did you do? And here's the problem. The Republicans actually support him. Do Republicans understand they could put somebody else in there who had morals, who had dignity and respect, and still follow the same Republican policies? That is still possible, you know. But for some reason, Republicans just don't get it either. They'll take what they got. Well, you got what you got. Anyway, it's just shameful. And when the President of the United States calls a female a horse face, and has called many females even worse than that, then you've got to really start looking inside yourself and saying, what am I doing? What am I condoning here? It just doesn't make any sense. You know what the problem is? We hear it every day. So we become very comfortable with that. We've all become comfortably numb. Well, I didn't know that was coming. Anyway, it's a sad time in our society, certainly. In our society, and I blame the person who invented the tweet. If it wasn't for you, whoever you are, Bobby Tweet, I mean, I don't know your name, but whoever invented the tweet, you gave ammunition to a child is what you did. This president's pulpit is a tweet with the icon of that is a little bird. I don't even know where I live anymore. I don't even associate with the planet anymore. Until you guys clean up your act, you're on your own. I just hope that for the next 2 years, if Trump makes it that long, that nothing horrible happens beyond what's already happened before. There's no world crisis or anything with that two-year-old at the helm. Oh my God. Fingers crossed. Let's just make it to the other side of the ocean, and then we'll deal with it then. I'm not comfortably numb. Uh-uh. You ain't got me yet, baby. You ain't got me. All right. Alicia Carey is going to join us momentarily. We're going to discuss a topic that, you know, you might say, Ron, you know, you're a petty kind of guy in many ways. No. Everything rolls into attitude. And the pettiness rolls into more important things. It shows your position and where your head's at. And mine is respect. If people on this planet had more respect for each other and safeguarded that respect, we'd be a better people and our lives would be a lot more enriched, I guarantee you. But we don't have respect. We're going the other way. We're embracing disrespect and division, and it's very unfortunate. Respect's very big for me. Anyway, let's get on the stick. Let's get on this stick. Anyway, when people put on clothes every day and they walk around in public, and I have noticed that we're dressing more disrespectfully. We only care about our comfort now. When we go shopping, you don't even change out of your pajama pants if you go early enough in the day, I guess, because you want to be comfortable. You want to be comfortable. I understand that. I understand this me generation. But as soon as you go out in public and you start interacting with other people, it's not just you anymore. Do you understand that? It's not just you anymore. You have to respect the fact there's other people walking the planet with you. And as soon as you walk outside of your apartment or your house, there's some respect that has to come into play. Otherwise, all these people walking around don't get along. So I've noticed that there's been a lack of respect in the way that we dress. So that's the topic that Alicia and I will be discussing today. It's interesting because she lives in the big city. She lives in New York City. I live in a suburb of Boston. So it's very different. Not as different as some guy sitting on his porch in Alabama, sucking on a beer, and watching the flies stick to the strip that's hanging from the porch ceiling. I'm not saying that's all they do. I'm saying I don't do that here. Very different. We all live very different lives in this country. We're not all urban. We're not all country. There's all kinds of stuff in between, all kinds of different climates, different horrific weather phenomenon. This country is like a lot of different stuff. Different immigrants from different backgrounds, from different cultures, from different intelligence levels. Very different stuff going on here. So we're going to have conversation with Alicia about that. She happens to be an expert in that field. She's actually a fashion designer, so I thought that'd be kind of interesting perspective from her part as well. But before we get into that, we're going to take a little bit of a break. Not a big break. Hey, do you need any help putting things together for your next holiday? Well, I know a great restaurant, and they also do other stuff. Listen to this.
Gentlemen, have you ever been in the mood for a nice knish or maybe bagel and a schmear, but you're also in the mood for some exotic dancing? You can't find those in the same place. Until now, I'm Moishe Kaufman, inviting you to come visit us at Moishe's Knish and Strippers, the area's first genuine kosher deli and titty bar. Come in and rock out with your locks out and check out our dancers. These girls are so nice, you'll plots, and they're all certified kosher. Maybe not the kind of girl you bring home to mother, but once you see Delia fold a dollar bill without using her hands, you won't care what mom thinks. Look, Bubby, you're in a strip club. That alone is enough to kill her, so live a little. Every Thursday, don't miss our buns and brisket buffet from noon to 6. Moishe's Knish and Strippers is closed on the Sabbath. Hey, we might be a little unorthodox, but we're not heathens.
Hey, Elisa, how are you today? Hey, every week we talk about a different subject, and this week, to start things off, because you're actually in the fashion industry, you own your own line of fashion, and you do stuff like that. So I thought the first thing we talk about would be kind of in that line. I talk every once in a while about the fact that people don't seem to dress up as much as they used to years ago or in prior generations. And this idea of the casual look has, in my mind, kind of gone overboard. now, as a designer, do you see that trend getting away from people wanting to look good?
You know what? As a designer, as a woman, as a lover of fashion, if you will, connoisseur, whatever you want to call me, I really feel that people are, they have selective dress-up moments, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it used to be, you know, airport dress-up, you know, it used to be restaurant dress-up.
Yes.
Everywhere you go except home and in the gym dress-up.
Right.
Now, what has happened is casual has become couture. We can trademark that later.
Okay.
But casual is couture now. So you can do, and I even put myself in that category, you can wear yoga pants or leggings and put a nice top on it or jacket on it, and you're dressed and you're ready to go. And that's actually what I'm going to wear today. I'm going to wear a tweed jacket, and I'm going to wear some leggings and some casual shoes, some sneakers. And sneakers, are, by the way, all the rage right now, so, and have been for a while. So that's just become the new fashion. But yet I still feel that there are times that people will still dress up, if you will. Weddings, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, always going on a special dinner, like anniversary dinner or special date, people dress up. And also, I think for work, people dress up. But people seem to, like myself, we relax better in casual clothes, but also I'm just going to say I have to blame it on the media and celebrities and all that. We see a lot of them, you know, where they're casual. So that is the trend. The trend has not gone away from them. Like I'm a movie buff. I went to film school, amongst other things. And back in the day, you know, 1940s, you saw all the movie stars. They never left their house without the hat.
Yes.
And makeup and
Correct.
All that stuff.
Yes.
So that was the trend. Men wore hats. Women were always, as they say, dolled up.
Yes.
But that's not it anymore.
If you
look at TV, everybody is, it's casual. But like I said, there are still occasions where people still, you know, adhere to the dress up.
Yeah, but less and less. I mean, I used to go to a place of worship, which I think some people call churches. I don't know. And everybody was dressed up because it was Sunday or something, and they were in church, and it was. And now it's like they're going to church and then they're going to jog. It's sad to me.
You know what? It's sad, but I'm going to tell you something. You and I must be some sort of connected, because my church, I went to church, place of worship.
Yeah.
I went there yesterday, and my pastor has a thing called Dress Down Sundays.
Uh-huh.
Now, the reason why he implemented that, because he feels that people don't want to get dressed up, and they feel that if they come to church, they'll feel out of place.
Yeah.
So he does every second Sunday, we can wear jeans. I mean, you can't obviously wear... Okay, crop tops and show your booty, but you can wear jeans, t-shirt, and casual. But so I feel when it comes to that, and I love that point that you just made up, I feel it's kind of making it where people might feel that they don't have the right clothes, you know, that they can still come and worship and be comfortable. And that's his point.
That's a good point.
And we have attracted more people who just want to come and just maybe, you know, what have you. But I feel that on that point, I agree with him that he can be, you can get more people to come when they feel that the restrictions are not so high.
If you don't feel you have the clothing or can't keep up with the others, I guess that's, church is not supposed to be keeping up with other people. But even when I go to banks, and I really have no reason to do that, but when I go to banks, they have casual Friday, and it's like, what are you doing? Why do you choose a day of the week that's close to the weekend and say, oh, screw it, I don't care now, I won't dress up? It just gets odd to me that it's actually designated as a day that you don't have to. It's like, what are we doing?
Well, I just thought of something.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm the most happiest. Okay, I dress up, but I must tell you, I'm the most happiest when I'm in my casual clothes. Yeah. So maybe it's a mental thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, when you're happy and you're working, which never comes together, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Unless you're, you know, Jay-Z or just making a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
When you're happy and you're working and you're in something that makes you not restricted, aren't you probably a better worker? Maybe that's the kind of reasoning behind that,
because
I know I feel
I feel the opposite. I feel that,
really,
yes, when I put a suit and tie on, I feel powerful. I feel like Superman. Well, I don't wear the cape as much as I used to, but it's like that. When I'm dressed well, I feel more motivated. I feel more businesslike. I feel more presentable to the point where I can be more productive. It psychologically pumps me up.
Well, I like that. I like that. And probably for a man, but for a woman, I'm going to just give you the chick point of view.
Okay, chick.
Yeah, we like to be sexy in a nice little, you know, outfit, but for us, probably when we feel most powerful, when we have our Superman cape on, if you will, is when our makeup is done right, our hair is done right, our nails are done.
Right.
But probably for a guy, I can see the power tie, hence the name, the power tie.
Yeah.
You know, I understand where you're coming from. You're right. And probably when I'm in relaxed clothes, you're absolutely right, Ron. Mm-hmm. I think that I have a more relaxed attitude. I'm not as... what's the word I'm looking for? I'm not as, you know,
lazy.
I want to say, I'm not as strict as myself. Okay. You're right. When I'm in a powerful, like a really amazing looking outfit or whatever, yes, I do get the she warrior, the Wonder Woman coming on me. I do. You're right. You're absolutely right. I agree. I'm going to give you, this is Monday. This is Ron's day.
You're right, Ron. All right.
I'm giving it to you. I'm high-fiving you right now.
Great. I like that.
You know, you're right. Power comes with a powerful look. Casual, you have a more sometimes, but I'm just going to say that because sometimes we just need a little bit of a break. How's that?
I guess so, but I don't, there's a thing about being in public that kind of changes my attitude. You're in the city, right? You're in New York City.
Yes, correct.
And I'm in suburbs of Boston. And we have a store here called Walmart. And I don't know if you have that in the city itself.
We have one. I found a couple.
Okay. Yeah. So I go in there, and to me, that's a microcosm of people that just don't care. They wear their pajama pants into the store to go shopping. Mm-hmm. And I think Walmart kind of like killed the whole idea of being presentable in public. It's just that I think is a great example of just grooming people not to be groomed.
You know what? You know what? I'm going to tell you something. Mm. You're right. I've seen some Walmart videos on social media, and there's some scary things. And I get what you're saying, and I think I know where you're going. It, you know, in essence, what you're saying is we've almost taken it too far, mm-hmm. you know?
Yes.
And I know that there's certain airlines that don't, you know, allow people to go on with, you know, pajamas and a top, you know what I mean?
Well,
you
good.
Have to, you know, there is certain dress codes. And you're right. I think there is a level of, there's a level of relaxed dressing that you have to kind of, you know, look at, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't go to casual Fridays. You can't go to your office in pajamas, but there is like anything, I think a medium level, you know what I mean?
Right.
We might not have to wear the full power tie,
perhaps,
but a jacket, maybe perhaps a jacket,
yeah.
a college shirt and
yeah.
a pair of jeans,
yeah.
you know, and for a woman, like one of my favorite looks is a t-shirt,
mm-hmm.
a fitted t-shirt and a high-waisted skirt,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that gives me the comfort up top of the casual, but the power skirt on the bottom.
I
you know what I mean?
So,
maybe if we mix it, maybe if we do a little bit of, you know, combo dressing.
Yeah. And sometimes someday when we get back to the subject, I want to talk about the choices for men and for women. Women have like a plethora of choices, and their closets actually reflect it, of things to wear. And men, no. It's pants and a shirt, and you're kind of done. It's just, it's amazing how it, I mean, I get it, but it's, there's just, the choices are much fewer. But we'll talk about that another time.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, always fun talking to you. Next week, Alicia and I will tackle another topic and see where we go with that.
Always fun talking to you, my brother from another mother.
Yes.
And I look forward to it. Something fun and exciting. I'm sure what people will love it, whatever it is.
You never know. Okay, we'll talk soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron.
There she goes. Okay, cool.
All right.
Were you comfortable with that?
Oh, I'm very comfortable. Like I said,
fantastic.
You and I have a banter. I don't know where it comes from. It's got to be from God.
Perfect.
So, yeah, but honestly, my pastor, and just so you know,
yeah.
the elders are not happy in my church about casual Sunday.
I get that.
You know, they scrunch their faces, and they look at people with ripped jeans, and they kind of want to throw themselves.
Yeah,
but like I said, it has brought new people into the church, younger people, and so my pastor's like, he's not letting it go anywhere.
Yeah,
No,
that's actually a separate interesting topic that the church is actually trying to market in order to get more customers, quote unquote, into their store, quote unquote. So that's interesting.
And also, but on the side note, when you mentioned about just to let that go,
to
put a pin in there, when it comes to men dressing,
yes,
it's still. It's still shirt and pants, correct?
Yes.
Shirt, pants, jacket.
Yeah.
But there's variations. You know what I mean? Meaning the pants, there's variations in the pants. There's variations in the length.
There
you
is.
Know, the
there
jacket,
is.
There's variation in the look, the fabric,
there
the
is.
Style.
There
so
is. No, you're absolutely right.
I mean, it's still within a certain parameters, but they're still trying to give men some looks. And I'm going to tell you right now, men are looking sharper, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, there's more designers that are looking and catering towards how men look than ever before. And they're not just giving them, you know, just the, you know, I just for men or, you know, or whatever that monolith look that they're getting. There is some difference.
Yeah. But it's interesting because, I mean, you're in New York City. I mean, I lived in New York most of my life, and New York is a separate country. People dress very, very differently. And if we were doing this conversation on a Texas radio station or a Mississippi radio station, it would be like people would say, like, why do you even bother putting a jacket on? What are you talking about?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. New York is a bubble in many aspects.
It
I
is.
Mean, maybe that's
you.
One conversation,
thank God.
Too.
Thank God.
All right.
Okay. Alicia, thank you. Well, there you have it. That was interesting. Alicia and I will be discussing other topics as the weeks go on a once-a-week basis. Fun. Not bad, baby. Okay. Fine. Good for you. All right. I do want to mention before I leave one of our frequent guests on the program. I believe he's been with us about 5 times over the years. Dennis Hoff, who owns a series of brothels in Nevada, it's the only state in the country where you can own a brothel and operate it. He did it in a very respectful manner, one might say, as respectful as you can get running a brothel or a series of brothels in Nevada. But he had security. He was testing the women and making sure that they were fit, if you know what I mean, in order to engage in that business. He did it well, and he came on this show because I found what he did to be fascinating. Not that I would participate, mind you, but a fascinating subject matter. Dennis was a somewhat crazy man. He was running for office, actually, and he underwent many, many interesting events that took place at the brothel, including some high-powered people who would visit his place through a back door. Very, very interesting conversations I had with him. He passed away just yesterday. So it's sad in that sense that that occurred. So I just thought I would mention that today. We do remember Dennis Hoff, a frequent guest and a very interesting guest on this program. Okay, we're out of time for today. It's time for me to leave. This isn't all I do. Sometimes I'll actually get up from my chair with the microphone in front of my face, and I will actually go to a kitchen and eat food. I do that too. Sometimes I will lie down and I will actually fall asleep. Not well, but I will try to do that. And that is the extent of my entire life. But until tomorrow when we meet again, I wish you peace. Do the best you can. Respect other people. Will you do that? Give it a shot. Just give it a shot.